I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like my life's a merry-go-round, round and round, week after week, day after day, up and down, up and down. That's the way I feel my life becomes sometimes. And sometimes I really enjoy the merry-go-round of life. And we have fun. And sometimes it becomes a little monotonous. Who enjoys merry-go-rounds? A few people. Here we go. Maybe you like a little wilder ride, like the Tilt-A-Whirl, you know, where it goes up and down and round and round and round. On the Tilt-A-Whirl at Kennywood Park, sometimes I can't wait till it stops and I can get off. Who enjoys that kind of a ride? Yeah, a little wilder, maybe. But eventually, it will stop. In the Bible, there were no carousels in those days. No tilt-a-whirls. No roller coasters. So God used an illustration similar to a carousel to tell a story to Israel, to you and to me. In the potter's shop, it's a steady, continual movement of the wheel on which the potter forms the clay into a beautiful bowl or a vase or a pitcher of water for water. Vessels that could be used and could be very valuable. I want you to turn with me in your scriptures to Jeremiah chapter 18. Shelley, you can come. And while they're turning, I want to introduce to you Shelley Cabarney and what inspired this message. Back when we did the hunt for Easter, Shelley did a demonstration with a potter's wheel. And God made me aware that I, in my 50 years of preaching, of pastoring, I've never preached on this text. And God says, Paul, it's time to do it now. And so I asked Shelley to accompany me on the sermon. And she'll be making a vessel. I don't know if it's going to be a bowl or a vase. You'll find out as well as I will. But as I preach along. Now, let's not get so fascinated by what Shelley's doing that we forget what the Bible says. And to help you, in your note sheet, okay, if you pull it out of your bulletin, on the one side is the scripture text that I'm going to read from the New International Version. On the back are the notes that you can fill in the blank as you go, and they spell out the word hope, which is the theme for today's message. All right, looking at God's word, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Jeremiah 18, now verse 2. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, And if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. Oh God, I pray your Holy Spirit will speak into each of our hearts, applying the word of God by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so today, to help you visualize what is being done in the potter's shop, Shelley's going to show you the skill of the potter with her potter's wheel, forming the lump of clay. Watch her as she demonstrates what Jeremiah's potter was doing. Now, back to the scripture passage. About 600 years before our Lord Jesus walked on the face of the earth, Jeremiah was chosen by God to be the prophet to carry a difficult message to the Jewish people who were living in Jerusalem and the surrounding area of Judah. The message was this, that their capital city of Jerusalem and the surrounding area was about to be destroyed by the army of Babylon. Their beautiful temple would be demolished. Yes, God would allow ungodly people to attack and ruin their beautiful country, killing thousands, raping the women, marching their young people off as slaves in that faraway country of Babylon, which we now call Iraq. Why would God allow such a thing to take place? Because the Jewish people had become self-centered instead of God-centered. And we can all become self-centered instead of God-centered. Because they chose to live sinfully, disobeying God's word, worshiping the created instead of the Creator. The enemy Babylon did finally attack the city of Jerusalem, destroying the temple in the year 586 BC. Just as God had told the prophet Jeremiah, and the gold from the temple was hauled off to Babylon. And many of the people were marched off as slaves to serve in ungodly ways in that country of Babylon. As horrible as this was, God was not finished with the Jewish people, but wanted to build faith-filled hope into the hearts of his people so that they could look beyond their problem and look to the day when God would finally restore the nation of Israel. Even today, our gracious God wants to build hope into the hearts of people, people like you and me. He wants you to be filled with hope. And with God, there is hope. Hope for you, for your marriage, for your children, for your church here in Mars and Franklin Park and elsewhere. God has wonderful hope, for Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. But let's go on. God wants you personally to experience hope today, even if you're facing some difficult situations. And see with me, through Jeremiah's visit to the pottery shop, four ways that you can build hope into your life, into your situation in which you live and into the lives of the people around you, your friends. So you're going to want to follow along in your note sheet. The first point, picture the potter. Picture the potter. See him sitting in front of the potter's wheel, busy at work, patiently forming vessels and bowls and cups and plates out of clay. Who is this potter? Let me introduce him to you. The first hint as to the identity of the potter is in verse 6. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. God identifies himself. He says, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God is the potter, the hymn writer. Adelaide Potter writes this, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Now this analogy, God uses not only here in Jeremiah's prophecy, but elsewhere in the Bible. The Apostle Paul picks it up in the book of Romans in chapter 9. The prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 64, you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You're the potter. We're the work of your hand. Please keep in mind who this God is, molding, making, forming us. What motivates him? Why would God even think of making us, forming us out of clay? He works lovingly in his heart. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. He created you so that he would have someone to love. God works wisely. Romans chapter 16, verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen. He works intelligently, knowing what's best. You're here, friend, not because of happen chance. You are part of God's wonderful plan, his wise plan. You were created by the all-knowing, all-wise God. He is sovereign, deciding what you will look like, what you will be like. He is God. You're not an accident. You're chosen by God for special work. The book of Romans in chapter 9. Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes? And some for common use. Notice how the potter forms the clay. He applies pressure in certain places as he forms the vessel. Sometimes we don't like it when God applies pressure to our lives. When he pushes us till it hurts. But keep in mind, friend, he does so for purposes known to him. Don't resist his creating pressures but trust him who is making you beautiful. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, over the years in my life, God has applied pressure only to mold me after his will. I remember back years ago, 40 some years ago anyway, our daughter Patty, she was struggling with epilepsy. Some of you know this. Some of you prayed with us through this. It was difficult. It was difficult to see her with that problem. It was difficult for me to give her her phenobarbital every day. I didn't want her to be on those medicines. But God used all of that to change me. And then as he changed me, God healed my daughter. It's just wonderful how God does it. And in each of our lives, there are times when God pushes us, even until it hurts, so that we'll be beautiful, so that we'll be fillable for him, for his service. Picture the divine potter sitting beside you, pressing you where you need to be pressed, forming you into that man of God, that handmaiden of the Lord, making you that successful witness for Christ, that successful student, that successful ball player, whatever he wants for you. Remember, he's the potter. We're the clay. And so in this analogy, the next step, examine the clay. Isaiah chapter 64 says this, Lord, we are the clay. You are the potter. Clay, dug out of the earth. And some would just look at it as a worthless clump of dirt. But on the potter's wheel of life, there is hope. Notice here, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 4. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Why was it marred? Did the divine potter make a mistake? No way. It's not God's fault. Friends, in every analogy, there's a little flaw, a weakness in the symbolism. Clay in itself is inanimate. A lump of clay is just a glob dug out of the earth. It can't move of its own accord. But differing from the inanimate clay, you and I have a free will to choose, don't we? Our free will, the ability to choose, sometimes gets us in trouble. And we can choose either to submit to the loving potter's hand, or we can resist his touch. Perhaps there is a lump of in the clay, perhaps a tiny stone, which resists the potter's gracious hand. Maybe a hard spot in your life. And for us humans, we are flawed by sin. It's born into us. Even as the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when the vessel becomes marred, what does the potter do? He reforms the clay. If it's a pebble, he removes the little pebble that had been messing up the works. We call it in our lives sanctification. And he starts again. In life, God is the God of second chances. He remakes lives. The Bible says in verse 4, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred and is in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seems best to him. Yes, God is the God of second chances. For instance, maybe the individual becomes addicted to drugs or alcohol. God can remake, reform that life. Maybe the marriage failed, but we don't stop living. We believe God to remake that marriage, to reform it in His grace. To remold it. Maybe you flunked a class in school. Let God do for you what you could not do for yourself. He is the God of second chances. Maybe you did mess up at work. Maybe you lost your job. God is the God of second chances, friends. The potter places that lump of clay onto the potter's wheel to purpose to make it beautiful. Next, observe the potter's wheel. The potter's wheel spins and spins and spins, sort of like a carousel. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Today, Shelley's potter's wheel is electronically motorized. In Jeremiah's day, the potter turned the wheel with his feet while he was molding the clay with his hands. Interesting that the earth in which we live is continually rotating round and round and round, day after day after day. The situations of life, the routines which we live continually, are what God really uses to mold us and make us. Applying pressure repeatedly over time as the wheel of life turns on and on. In a sense, we are all on the potter's wheel. He's forming us as he chooses. He does so in love, in wisdom, in grace. It's the day after day routines of your life that God uses to mold you. Getting up each day. Having your cup of coffee each day. Sitting down with your Bible every day. Having your time of prayer every day. It's those routines, going to work every day, day after day, almost monotonous. But notice who placed the clay onto the potter's wheel. God does, In his time, in his way, he placed you on the potter's wheel of life. He chose to have you here today and to mold you after his will. Hallelujah. Something else about the potter's wheel. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Why does God repeat, O house of Israel, two times in that same verse? For emphasis. He has a message for the Jewish people. Historically, Israel became stubborn. The Bible, the old King James calls it stiff-necked. They sinned. They moved into idolatry. They refused to become what God had hoped. They set up their Asherah poles. And they went, quote, whoring after other gods. The pot was marred. And as a result, God dealt firmly with Israel. They were ruined, set aside for a season. And the Jews suffered severe consequences for their sins. Just as you and I will serve the consequences of our sin. The United States of America will experience severe consequences for our sins. For the Jewish people, the army of Babylon attacked Jerusalem, and the walls came down, and the city was destroyed, including their wonderful temple. Later, Alexander the Great again attacked the city of Jerusalem. And then the Roman army under the general Titus in 70 AD attacked the Jewish people. And then you're aware that even during our lifetime, Adolf Hitler attacked the Jewish people and 6 million Jews were slaughtered. Jeremiah predicted this terrible treatment of the Jews because God was preparing the Jews for the consequences of their sin. There are always consequences of sin. Always. That's why Jesus died on the cross. The consequences of your sin, of mine. He paid the punishment that you and I deserve. When he died in our place on Calvary. And friend, the Jewish people have suffered. But God is not finished with the Jewish people. And during our lifetime, in 1948, the prophecy of Jeremiah is being fulfilled today. And the nation of Israel has become an independent nation for the first time for over 3,000 years. God is fulfilling his prophecy on the wheel, the potter's wheel of human history. It is taking place. Observe the wheel of the divine potter. It's the daily, steadily rotation of the potter's wheel, year after year, the nation of Israel. The discipline of life are routine. They're necessary in your Christian life, that daily prayer time. Absolutely necessary. Daily reading the Word of God. How many here, every day, you pick up the Word of God and read it devotionally? Come on, as a testimony to God. Every day, make it part of your life. That's what God will use to form you into a beautiful image. As a teenager, Sunday morning, there was no question about what we were going to do. You went to church. If we were on vacation, my dad found a place where we would pull into a churchyard, park the car, and we would go in and worship with those people. Wednesday night prayer meeting, what do you do? You didn't ask about doing anything else. You went to prayer meeting. It's what we did. You see, the routines, the family traditions are very important in developing, in growing children, in growing our lives. The last point in my message, hang in there by faith. The message of Jeremiah the prophet, don't give up. Believe God to answer prayer. There is hope. There's always hope in God. And just as God was giving hope to Israel and a future to Israel, God's offering to you and to me hope in our life situations. The great preacher, Methodist preacher Clovis Chappell writes, when we go wrong, when we resist Him, when we make a mess of life by defying His will, He does not give us up. He does not throw us away. With a persistent patience beyond all belief, He seeks to make us again. Some of you know Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The same prophet Jeremiah, speaking to the people of Israel, to you and to me. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When it seems that God is putting the pressure on you, in places where it hurts, hang in there. He's not finished with you yet. But hope as you watch His plans prosper in your life. And He takes the marred form on the divine potter's wheel and remakes it for His glory, for your good. These summer days are days of marathon runnings. We have our own Nick Ettinger. In a marathon, the person who wins the race is the one that hangs in there, even when it hurts, and believes God. Hope is so vitally important. To believe God, to enable you in the race of life. Hope, vitally important. To life, to happiness, to progressive thinking. Hope comes in two forms. Everyday hope. That the life situation in which you find yourself, that things are going to work out for good. Most of us are facing some challenging situations. Maybe your marriage is struggling a little. Maybe there are family problems. Maybe physical problems, aches and pains that you don't understand. The list can go on and on. But you can believe God that when He puts the pressure on your life, that He'll bring good out of that situation. Not only are there everyday hopes, but there's eternal hope. Someday, the carousel that we call life, as exciting as it is, as full of energy as it is, the potter's wheel of time for you personally is eventually going to stop. And you'll face your maker on every carousel. There's a time when the ride stops. I want to ask you, do you know for certain when the carousel of life stops for you, do you know for certain that if it would stop today, that you'd be with the Lord in heaven? You can. The Bible says, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know that. That's the song we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. If you've never before asked Jesus into your life, there's no better time than right today for you to say, God, I need you in my life. And to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Maybe you're facing some situations where God's applying some pressure to you. I ask that you pray this prayer with me. I'll pray it slowly. And just repeat it silently in your heart before God. Dear God, I believe that you are the potter. And I am the clay in your hands. You see that I have been marred by sin. Please forgive my sins. Make me. Mold me. Into the person you want me to be. I thank you for your gift of eternal life. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you prayed this prayer today, will you raise your hand so that I can remember you in my personal prayer time? Yes. You want God to mold you. And to make you. Oh God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Mold us and make us after your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.